Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, Fiddly Diddly in the corner.
What's in the Witcher's pocket?
Arrow through the axe hole.
Combo meal of kindness.
He's a two-hit wonder.
Get the F out of my seats!
The Yakuza with a dragon tattoo.
On Southwest, NADS fly free.
No stinky Russell brandiness.
Yakuza hitman makes appointment.
Don't trust any of those names.
Joining the Mile High Club solo.
Achy breakies lead to Miley's.
Don't be iced.
Tramp 64 had the best tramps.
Randy hates on Z-Von and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
If you ever get super glue on your glasses, do not soak them in acetone.
All the Cracker Barrels.
Now picture that, but everywhere. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning. Welcome to TMS. It is Wednesday, April 6, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello!
Brian is frantically trying to lock in some seats for the Multiverse of Madness, which...
F5! Yeah, or is it F4? I can't remember. What is it?
F5 on PC, I think.
Okay.
But you're probably having a Command-R this business.
I'm not even having to do that, because the cycling thing just takes me back to the front. At this point, I'm just kind of... Well, let's explain what's going on, because we've kind of jumped right into it. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness tickets have gone on sale this morning.
Yeah.
And AMC Theaters sent me a great email saying, hey, come on, get you're an A-list. Come on, get a ticket for you and your entourage member and come see the movie.
It was them who said to you, come get them.
Exactly. And then they put me in a queue for a couple minutes saying, okay, hold on, we're getting everything ready for you. There are a couple people ahead of you in line, but you know.
Yeah.
But when we're ready for you, we'll take you. And then they took me, and I'm still in this loop of, pick your seats. All right, hold on. Thinking. Try again. Pick your seats.
Yeah, it should let you save. Well, that'd be a nightmare if the whole system's borked, but if they could let you save your session so it knew what seat you had already pre-picked, and then refreshing should do at that stage is refresh the next point of the purchase, not having to pick your seats all over again.
My thinking is that somebody else is picking the same seats or has already picked the same seats and the system hasn't logged the bin yet.
But
remember when we were talking about the F seats?
Yeah,
that
the
I was
F
trying
seats.
To get?
Yeah.
They're sold now. Oh, I don't know why. How are people getting in and I can't?
You should jump up some letters. Go up to the...
I moved back to J.
No, you're back to the J's. All right.
G, H, and I are all like the five middle... clusters are all taken, so I'm going back to, you know, these are big theaters. I could sit anywhere except the front two rows and be totally fine.
Yeah, front. If you get way in the front, you're gonna ruin your neck. It won't be good.
Oh God, yeah.
The multiverse of neck pain.
I think we saw Mission Impossible 4 in those seats. It was like one of the first times they had.
Ooh, geez.
What a rough movie to see with with your neck crane. I think tickets were almost sold out. All that was left was the front row. But this was one of the first times that recliner seats were available. And it's like, oh, well, let's try the front row. You know, it's recliner. We can kind of lay back and watch.
Yeah.
And no, even with the recliner, you're like.
You're still looking side to side.
Yeah.
Was that the one with Henry Cavill?
Like having battling dentists saying, turn your head to the left. No, can you turn your head to the right? No, can you turn your head to the left?
Oh, that'd be a nightmare. I don't want that ever in my life. Was that the Henry Cavill one, the fourth one? Is that the one he was in? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right. So Ghost Protocol?
I think it was Ghost Protocol. If you guys have never seen Ghost Protocol, or even if you have and you didn't notice, next time you watch it, just watch his pocket while he's in the bathroom. Because he does this thing where he does his arm cock. It's in the trailer as well. And he's about to beat up Tom Cruise in the bathroom. And he does it. And when he does it, his shirt goes from a pocketless button down to almost the exact same shirt, but with a pocket.
With a pocket, with a button.
And it's clearly digital and it's clearly kind of a goof. It's a continuity goof. And it had the pocket not appeared, you'd never even notice there was anything going on.
You know, though, devil's advocate here, I've seen people in that movie rip their Tom Cruise face off and it's somebody else underneath. Why couldn't he have a shirt that he does this like with his arms and all of a sudden it's got pockets?
It's like, now I can beat you up and I have capacity for pens, some business cards.
Right, exactly.
A protector.
Could you have a handkerchief? Yeah, hold on one sec. There you go.
Okay, I kind of like that better. That whole world is a better world. I'm into it.
That's the world we want to be in.
Yeah, he was actually really good in that. I liked that.
He was, yeah. And he didn't have a mustache, or he did have a mustache, but he didn't have to cover it up.
No, in fact, I think the reason they had to cover it up was because he was filming that.
Because of this movie. Yeah.
Why didn't they just have him wear a fake mustache? I've never understood that.
Oh, yeah, like, that's a really good point. Instead of...
It's not like we're old Hollywood where you got to paint it on or something. Just put on a good fake mustache. It'll look just like his. And then when he's done, he goes over to Zach's place. He can film his Superman business.
Right.
Never understood that. It was really weird. Like, it's so backwards. It's like, which is the easier thing?
A mustache is a pretty easy thing. If we've learned anything from The Little Rascals, it's that a mustache is an easy thing to procure and put on your face.
Yeah, what's harder? Do the mustache, fake mustache, that looks real, that you can now take off and film your other movie, or take the time, effort, and whatever to grow a real mustache and then not be able to shave it so the whole CGI team has to come up with a method to make Henry Cavill's lip look normal. Like, that's so backwards.
Yeah.
Who was in charge? What are you doing? All right.
What is the deal with
the deal? Anyway, so we'll keep an eye on this as the show goes on. Brian will give us updates, and we'll see if you get your tickets or not.
If there's any point where you say, Brian, what do you think of that? And I go, huh, what, what? That's because I've decided to move to a new row. and I'm weighing my options. Oh, well, this one's pretty good. Close to the bathroom.
Is there any chance that this could just end in a nightmare scenario of, okay, well, all the seats are gone. I guess I don't get a ticket.
Totally. Easily could happen. Okay. Easily. I'm prepared for that. You know,
that sucks. How are they getting in is what I want to know.
I want to know how F11 and F12, I want to know how they got their seats specifically.
I'd like you to walk up to them with a camera, with your phone out when you go. F12 and F11 go, excuse me, I would like to know what's going on. And these two nerds will look at you like, what the frick is this guy doing?
I'd be like, hey, I had these.
These were mine, damn it.
I picked them before you did. Yeah. They just didn't let me have them, but they were mine.
Yeah, so enjoy them.
Enjoy them. I'll be back up there in H.
Yeah, yeah. You better have an eye on the back of your head because I'll be watching you, you can say.
Exactly, yes.
And then the Marvel thing will start. All right.
Flipping the little
They do that still? They kind of combine them now, right? It's like a flip, and then more realistic looking comic art.
And then you're zooming through the letters, backing your way through the letters of all the heroes.
And then it's film people. And then it's actual like footage of the characters. Yeah. I really like how they have evolved.
I do too. Like how that's kind of evolved. I like the DC one too with the, you know, like here's Superman, like a little pose of Superman. And then here's Batman throwing a batarang. And then here's Wonder Woman throwing a lasso. Woo!
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about the DC movies is that intro.
Can I tell you the one I don't like?
Yeah.
It's the one of the opening, and I wish I could remember which one it is, but it's got a dude firing an arrow that is going through like three swinging targets that have a little hole.
Oh, yeah.
And the arrow is going through all three holes perfectly.
Yeah.
There is some effed up perspective in that one, and it throws me out every single time. Like, God, why didn't somebody fix that?
Somebody forgot the rules of perspective they learned in high school.
The arrow looks like it's coming from a different angle because you kind of see, instead of the arrow being straight on like it would normally be, you see the arrow way worse of an angle.
Somebody in our chat's got to have a link to that intro.
I'm sure somebody will have
I'm a giant fan of that, though. When I was younger, I used to think, man, I could... A job for me that would be cool. I remember as like a teenager going, wouldn't it be cool to be one of those people that made those nifty pre-roll things like the Ridley Scott one, the Scott Free one? I love that one. which is like that weird looking dude that's like in the dark. It's like painted, and then he runs away with a light, and then he flies into a bird form or whatever. It's one of the coolest things ever made. And once in a while, they'll do a shortened version of it, and I get mad because I'm like, no, you have it's a piece of art. You don't shorten it. You play the whole thing.
Right, right.
This is a Ridley Scott movie. It's going to be 3.5 hours anyway. You may as well put an extra 2 seconds on there, you bastard.
You don't partially sign your name on some of your artwork. You sign your whole damn name on your artwork, right?
Straight up true, Brian.
There it is.
What you said.
There it is. TSD Entertainment. So look at the way that arrow is sticking out of that last axe. I guess they're axes with a hole in them. I don't understand that either.
I don't get that.
But the arrow clearly is not in the direction that it came from, that dude way behind all of those axes shooting it.
Yeah, it's like up to the wrong side here.
It's the magic arrow back and to the left.
Back and to the left. Okay, so picking it up is cool, firing it is cool, but then magical pull to the right, it's wrong. Yeah, it's bad.
It's wrong. Yeah. It's wrong.
I agree. Thanks for finding that. Who was that? Epic Joe fail. Guy Art. Thank you very much.
Joe Guy Art. Epic fail.
Good job. Not you, Joe Guyer. You're fine. You did great. You
get it? Epic fail? Come on.
I get it now. That was good, and it went right over my head
arrow. That's all right. Sometimes I let them go because people tweet me and say, oh, that one, you know, you snuck that one. You didn't think anyone noticed. And I'm like, yeah, I did.
Sometimes but they sneak. They're sneaky. And they turn out to be comedy gold, but I just step over them because I'm not paying attention to the gold in front of me. You know, right. I'm looking at the dollar way over there. No, that doesn't make sense. I've mixed my metaphors once again. All right. Hey, we got some emails here. One of these is a follow-up to that fast food deal that we talked about yesterday. My registered complaint about, you know, combo meals being less expensive than a la carte versions of the same food.
Right, right.
Aaron Fielder, he actually said this on Patreon, so I pulled it out of there. Of our Patreon over at patreon.com/TMS. And if you were curious, it says fast food combo pricing is a psychological trick. They determine that people will actually spend more money because they think they are saving money by buying a combo instead of just the hamburger and the fries. They are more likely to add extra cheese or additional meat patty or a dessert or upsell to a larger meal or milkshake instead of the soda. This sounds like a fascinating science segment for Bobby. Maybe. Bobby, I don't know if you ever want to dive into like the psychology.
It shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, you know, they're certainly not saying, you know, let's do a combo meal because it's the nice thing to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's never going to be out of the kindness of their hearts that they're giving
right,
you.
Right, exactly. You know what we should do? We should really be nice to people and make it cheaper for them when they buy, if they buy three things instead of just two.
Yeah.
But,
agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Also got some updates, or somebody, I asked for it and they were delivered.
I should have reached out
to Ken because I knew he was there, but we have a listener who's in Korea and he's there full time and knows a lot about Korean stuff. Didn't even think of it, but thankfully he listened and wrote in.
His name is Radar O'Reilly.
That's right. He heard the choppers. We were the choppers in the scenario. He says, hey, Scott, as you know, I have been living in South Korea for 22 years, and yes, I have a tattoo. But in Korea, tattoos will never stop you from getting into a bathhouse. Interesting. Tattoos will never stop you from getting into a bathhouse. In fact,
They will in Japan, but not in Korea.
Korea, I guess. It says, in fact, tattoos are super popular now with the younger generation. Yes, tattoos are associated with organized crime. However, gang tattoos are the typical full back tats of huge ass dragons and tigers. So kind of the typical ones we see in like a Yakuza game or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Says, but making tattoo parlors illegal would do little to stop the activity because these gangsters' tattoos are all done in-house. Good point. It's not like they're scheduling appointments with legit places. Yes, I'm a Yakuza hitman. I'd really like to have a giant dragon on my back. How would you charge? Like, they're not going to do that. They do it in-house. No. They got some guy in there with a tattoo unit.
There's a built-in guy. They have a guy already who does that.
They have a guy. Yeah.
Like, you don't sit there and go, well, let's see. It's between the flaming pair of dice and the Yakuza dragon.
Yeah.
The message or the anchor that says mom. Yeah, let's go with the Yakuza dragon. I'm thinking about joining.
You have a koi fish or how about a dragon with like a bunch of language on it about killing everybody? How about that? Anyway, the reason tattoo parlors are illegal in Korea, he says, is because of a court ruling in the 90s. This was around the time eyebrow tattooing became popular in Korea. And of course, there are lots of places that started to offer this service. This boom came with cheap, shady places that did them and caused infections and other complications. This prompted government action. According to Korean law, any procedure that breaks the skin, causes bleeding, and risks infection requires a medical license. The Korean Supreme Court ruled that tattoos are a medical procedure, so tattoos are not illegal. Putting a tattoo on someone without a medical degree is illegal. Oh. I hope this answers your question. Love the show. So that's interesting.
That makes great sense. Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I still feel like maybe what you would want to do is regulate tattoo. You can do regulation of the tattoo world in your country without forcing them to be medical degree holders. You know what I mean? Like, you can, we do that here. You have rules you have to live by in tattoo parlors here.
Licensing and stuff like that, cleanliness checks and making sure and that sort of thing. So
it's like restaurants and food checks, same thing, you know?
Yeah,
same
not a full-on medical professional, but you do have to know what you're doing and be certified and use clean stuff.
Clean stuff. Always use clean stuff. Here's my favorite PS, though, or this is a PS I really like. It says, just useless trivia, but firefighters in Japan used to put tattoos all over their bodies. Getting these tattoos displayed masculinity and courage. They also believe the tattoos would form a spiritual protection from the flames and other hazards while they're being firefighters. But on a more practical level, tattoos in various spots of their body would mean that they could be identified if they died in a fire. In a fire, their face might not survive, but hopefully a small section of their body would not be burned. If a tattoo was on that spot, the firefighter could be identified. Do they have tattoos in modern-day Japan? No.
Smiley face.
Smiley face. Oh, yeah. Big greeny face with a D.
That's interesting. What a weird... It just feels like such a crapshoot to be like, all right, well, if I were to die in a fire, and if, you know, most of my body was burned, then at least this one spot, if this is the one spot that's not burned, at least they'll be able to identify
me. They'll be able to find me. I always thought you just fall back on dental records, but you know, I guess identifying stuff in general, like, I'm trying to think, if I died, what's identifiable besides my teeth? I don't think I have anything. I got this weird mole on the top of my head up here.
Yeah, right, I see what you're saying. Like, you don't have a steel plate anywhere, or
No, I have fake eyes, but I think those would melt. Not eyes, but lenses.
Not fake.
They're just fake lenses. I don't know if you would identify anybody by their lens anyway. Probably not.
No, I think that would melt before anything else.
Well, I don't know, but let's ask a real doctor.
Oh, okay.
Brian Dunaway, actual doctor. Hey,
Paging Dr. Dunaway. Dr. Dunaway.
What would you like to be identified at, or how, if they found your charred, burned body in a building and your teeth were gone, how would they identify you?
Hi, Scott and Brian. They would identify me. They would identify me by, let's see, not my dentals, no, my glasses, I suppose,
oh,
no.
Okay.
How about the expression on my face?
Oh, okay.
They would identify me by the expression on my face. Eek, it's hot in here.
Yeah, eek, it's hot in here face. Oh, it must be Dunaway. So it's Brian Dunaway. He's been missing for a week. Now we found him. He says, eek, it's hot in here. All right, it's good to have you here,
take
dude.
Take a pull of my clothes.
Well, welcome to another edition of...
It is so hot, I want to play some Tadpool Feud.
We are definitely going to play Tadpool Feud. In fact, we have a listener right now. Let's find out who it is. Hi, who is this?
Hey, it's Dwayne from St. Louis, also known as Roe Baby in the Tadpool.
Well, hello, Roe Baby. I've seen your name for years and years. You've been around for a long time. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great today.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, welcome to the show. You're going to be our participant today after Brian explains how it works and what you could win.
That's right. Put on your participants. It's time to play the Tadpooly Feud. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics, and Scott and Brian are going to have to predict the answers that they gave us. It's Scott and Brian's job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Now, Matuba, right?
No, Vro Baby.
Oh, who's Vro Baby? What do I think? Oh, there we go, Vro Baby.
Yeah.
I was going to call you Seat F12.
Nice. You got my damn ticket.
I'm putting you in here so that I don't make that mistake. Vro Baby, your job is more important than ever because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian. If your team wins, you get a prize package that includes Titan Quest Anniversary Edition.
Ooh,
I love that
and
game. That's great.
This just sent to me in the mail yesterday in the weirdest, most mysterious envelope ever. came from somebody named Hello Kitty Pez.
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right.
Wait, you're showing something? Hold on a second. Let me get that screen.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to bring it up.
Show it again? Here you go.
Yeah, let me see.
Hello Kitty Pez.
Right yeah. There. Hello Kitty Pez. You know her, you love her.
Yeah, that looks like right. Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Yes. Sent us the Suicide Squad digital edition. So
oh, nice.
You don't even have to be a subscriber to HBO Max. You can watch this on Movies Anywhere, anytime.
Thanks for showing it.
Yeah. I did just show it on screen. I wonder if somebody...
You moved it awful fast. I don't know if anybody could capture it. Maybe. It was real quick, so I think you're probably all right.
I wish I knew who Hello Kitty Pez was. But we'll see. Like, see if anybody... rips it off. Hopefully somebody, like, as soon as you win this, bro, baby, if you win it, like, get it immediately.
Yeah. Immediately, dude.
Don't hesitate.
Yeah. Log in, right. Stat. All right. Yes. Well, awesome. These are great prizes. By the way, the Ultimate Edition, whatever it's called, Titan Quest, one of the great Diablo likes of all time.
Oh,
a
really?
Very good okay. game. Yeah. Real, real good. Anyway.
Real good.
All right. Let's do this then.
Okay. Ooh, boy, this is a good one. Put your hands on your buzzards. We asked the tadpole. Now it's like I have to make sure I say buzzards. Now I'm trained to say
relabel that buzzer to buzzard.
I should. We asked the tadpole. 533 of them responded to this. What's your favorite one-hit wonder? Scott.
Lean on Me.
Oh, that's good.
It may not count because it's a cover.
I thought you was going to flounder around a lot longer than that.
I know
you've got to be talking the Club Nouveau.
Yes,
version,
the
right?
Club Nouveau right. version, not the earlier one that they covered.
Donk 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 donk. Yep. All right. Nope.
Damn it.
Brian, wide open board. What did the tadpole say?
Yeah.
I do really like that one. That one takes me back to talking about this because we listen to that all the time when we were closing.
I hate that song. Ugh.
Yeah.
I'll go with the one I heard this morning because I don't know what else they sang, but I was listening to some Tainted Love. I've heard a lot of covers of Tainted Love, and this is a cover I heard, but I can't recall who originally sang it. So is it a one-hit wonder? Well, I don't know.
Let's see. Show me Tainted Love.
Oh, it's go. On
Jeez,
there.
That's so long. Took such a long time to come
one.
Up. The original version was by Gloria Jones. Soft Cell did the cover that we all know and love, but Gloria Jones did the very original version.
Do we know her from something else? Like,
We know her as the woman who was driving the car that killed Mark Bolan.
Oh, damn.
from the band T-Rex. That's about all else we know about.
Right.
That's gnarly.
Yeah, it is. It's totally gnarly.
Okay. Well, all right then. That means, Brian, it's you and Vro Baby here running the show.
Baby!
Yeah.
So what are you thinking? You got something?
Well, you
got
to go with something about, you know, never going to give you up.
Oh, there you go.
Never going to let you down.
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down.
I always think he has more songs that were popular, and maybe one or
two. Is it on the board?
Yeah, what did he? He did have another song. Together forever and ever.
That's right. But nobody thinks of that.
Nobody thinks, and they shouldn't if they do.
Yeah. They shouldn't think of
Together
any of this.
Together forever we two. And then you know
how it is. Sing along.
Exactly. Show me that other Rick Rowley song.
Oh,
number four.
Nicely done.
Look at that.
Bro Baby coming in hot with number four.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I want to say, I'm afraid because I know of a lot of one-hit wonders. I listen to them all the time. Yeah, I love because they're usually the catchiest ones, right? And it's like, how did they get that one magic song?
Yeah, this would be a really difficult one for me because knowing my favorite one-hit wonders, but what people would say are the popular one-hit wonders is a very tough distinction.
Yeah.
And once again, I have another one. Do you want to go with another one or do you want me to throw one in there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Bro Baby. All right. I'm going to go with 4-9 Blondes. What's up?
What's up? And thank you for calling it What's Up and not What's Going On.
What's going on?
I won a huge box of CDs from 99.5 The Mountain because they had one of these little song scrambles, and a little snippet of it was What's Up by Four Non Blondes. And everybody kept calling in going, What's going on by Four Non Blondes? And they get all the other ones right. And then I called in and said, What's Up by Four Non Blondes? It did get me mad. No, it made me happy because I got a big box of CDs.
Well, that's good. You won. Nicely done.
I won. Yeah. So, all right. Show me What's Up, Four Non Blondes.
Oh, that's a shame.
That was in the list. It was number 29 in the list. So,
all right,
yeah,
it's a
popular one, but not popular enough to make
right.
I'm going with Who Let the Dogs Out.
Oh, that's a good one.
Bahaman.
Yeah, the Bahaman.
Yeah. All right, show me the Bahaman.
Bahaman.
Who Let the Dogs Out.
Oh, come on!
Really?
I know.
Oh, I thought he was onto something. I was thinking about Mambo Number 5 immediately after, and I'm a little scared.
Yeah. Oh, wow, you're already jumping in. You don't even want to ask Vro Baby, you know, if he has...
Oh, yeah, Vro Baby, what do you think?
We can go with that one. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Is Lou Vega? It's Lou Vega, right?
Lou Vega with a B.
Lou Vega.
Well,
that's what happens when you only have one hit wonder.
Originally by Perez Prado.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, Lou Bega just basically took the song by Perez Prado and threw lyrics on it and made it a new song.
Weird.
Show me Mambo Number 5. I know.
This is hard, man. It's a lot harder than I thought it would be.
Well, there's just so many. I mean, every year there's a one hit wonder. I mean, like 10, 20, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but these are all, I mean, look at this. If I look at this list, it's like, yeah, of course these are the ones people would pick. They're very, you know, these are the upper echelon of one hit wonders.
These are going to annoy us when we hear them. That's what
they're
going to
annoy you when you guys hear them.
Yeah.
Mambo Number 5, they still play that every freaking year. Lean on me.
And Mambo Number 5 was number 15 in the list. People did say that one. They just didn't say it high enough.
Yeah, they didn't say it high enough, of course. All right, I'm going to go with... let's swing over to some... Oh, that's dangerous, though. Let me think for a second. Whatever, I'll go with my gut. Let's do some rap. Let's get Vanilla Ice out here. Vanilla Ice
That's nice.
His one thing, his Ice Ice Baby song, that one.
His Ice Ice Baby. Forget that, Zero. Get with the hero.
Yeah.
Forget
with the hero. It's so bad. Those lyrics suck.
They're so bad. Yes. Ugh. Stop. Collaborate and listen. Show me Ice Ice Baby.
I wanted to
give it to you. It's number 11. It was just outside the list. It was such a good one.
I've totally lost my mind. What do you think? You got anything over there?
How about Mickey?
Ooh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind, Mickey.
That's a big one.
This is going to depend on how X-y the chat is. If they're none of the Gen Xers who remember their youth, you might be screwed, but we'll see.
Right. All right. That's a good one, though.
Good guess. Good answer. Right. Good answer.
Show me Tony Basil's Mickey. Also a cover, by the way.
Everything feels like.
Oh my God.
I know. I was trying to figure out, there was no real good way to like give you hints on these, but.
Can I get an extra X?
Yeah, I don't know if I can. I think it'll automatically. I can reset the buzzer.
I mean, we just got so many in our heads, right? I've got a million.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you guys. Do we have time for?
Well, they don't lose. I mean, they'll win by default if I don't get enough points, right?
That's true. Yeah,
because I still have an X. Yeah. How do you want to do it?
Well, let's let you play this out, Vro Baby. Yeah, let's let Vro Baby get the gift. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, that's fine with me. Yeah. Either way,
Scott,
I'm fine with
that. Take your guess and let's see where you end up.
All right. Let's go with. My brain. I know this is not his number one. His only hit. He had many hits along with his band and himself.
Oh no!
My brain keeps saying. Say, I got my mind set on you by what's But I'm not going
to
do it.
Have to be, it doesn't have to be true. It just has to be with the tadpole thing.
It's true. Yes, exactly.
Too sexy for my shirt. That guy.
Oh, that's Sid Fred. Yeah.
All right.
Too sexy for my shirt.
Glad you said that one. Show me Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy.
Damn it.
Oh, my God.
Number 12, I believe. Yeah.
I've given up on life. I don't know who's
Oh, no. I'm Too Sexy was way further down, wasn't it? Golly, where is it? I know a lot of people. I thought a lot of people said it, but maybe not.
Too sexy for my shirt. Something, it hurts. Yeah. Oh, it's so bad.
I tell you what, I've been listening a lot lately. The acoustic version of Take On Me. Even though...
Oh, Take On Me.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Aha was a one-hit wonder, though, but that's so far outpaces everything else they have that...
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. It's kind of like...
I mean, you know, that was their big hit. The Sun Always Shines on TV was a minor hit, but I don't think it...
Right.
I don't think it broke through enough, or the theme to The Living Daylights. You should have said that. Take On Me, the number one answer.
What?
Also from, I think, that same year was our number two, which was from Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Yes.
Come on, Eileen. Come on, Eileen.
Yeah, I had that on my head. Is Frankie's is Relax on there? Did
It's not surprising. Oh, actually, nobody said Relax, which surprised
me.
Yeah, I think Two Tribes was enough of a hit that Frankie Goes to Hollywood wasn't considered one hit.
Yeah, they're a little bit like Shout from Tears for Fears.
They had other great songs, but it was
one of those songs that once again just kind of outpaced everything. And I don't know what's going on, but you know what Zoomers really are into? Take On Me. They freaking love that song.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They're all like recreating the video on TikTok, making like weird, sketchy
videos. The
acoustic
version is
because it's a great song.
It is
a
pretty good
band that really should have had a bigger success, but their first hit was such a big hit and not, you know, didn't show enough depth that people were like, oh, I'm going to see what else these guys have. It was just like, all right.
I know what screwed them. Their stupid name. It's a dumb name.
It is because it's lowercase. It's got a hyphen in it.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah, it's a bad idea.
It's kind of dumb. Yeah. All right. Your number three answer. I'm going to the 90s for this one. Mm. You get knocked down. You get back up again. It's Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
Yes.
Didn't they have one other one? Well, I mean, the whole album, but
a lot of them probably did. Once again, this is what
they might have had something in the UK. That was the only thing that they did in the US.
Fair enough.
So I thought about that too. I was like, what about Tone Loc's Wild Thing? And I'm like, well, he did have the Funky Cold Medina. And I'm like, would anybody remember that? And I'm like, I don't know.
That's a two hit wonder.
If you see him in concert, he does those two songs twice.
That's right.
He starts his show with them and he ends his show with them.
And then I was thinking awesome. MC Hammer. I'm like, but you know, there was a couple.
Just
Pray
was
the day.
Pray was big.
Too legit to quit.
Pray.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Can't touch this.
How about the Men Without Hats?
Oh, I love them. They ever do anything else? That was it. That was the big one.
They had a hit with Pop Goes the World, but I don't think it was big in the U.S. They're still putting out music, and I've actually seen them in like oldies concerts.
I like a band who had a one-hit wonder that continues to make albums in 2022, and their one-hit wonder was in the 80s. I think that's great.
Yep.
You don't have to have hit songs to be a band.
No, nope.
Exactly.
You don't have to.
And there's
not
and there's
make music.
Enough of a following for Men Without Hats that they'll still sell albums or still sell streams and downloads and stuff like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
This number seven is technically not even really a song from a real band. It was from a movie, but that movie was about a one hit wonder band called The Wonders. That thing you do, the Oneaters.
God.
That's a deep
snake eating the thing. I would have never
deep cut, but that's such a great song. There's nothing wrong with that song at all. Yeah,
there's no wonder why it was a hit. See,
it's no wonder, why there was a hit. Number eight is one that's near and dear to our hearts because when we did our 500th episode, J.K. Grammer led a group to re-record a version of this song. I think it was J.K. Grammer.
Oh, yeah.
The Proclaimers, "I'm Gonna Be 500
Miles."
500 miles. More. They got a couple other decent.
They did.
But that's a big one.
Bobby Boris Pickett, also not a real person. Maybe Bobby Boris Pickett is, but his nickname Boris was not real because he did that for the Monster Mash.
Oh, that's a really good one. Yeah. I'm surprised Mickey didn't get it earlier, though. That was a really good guess.
Yeah. Mickey was a really good guess.
Yeah.
That's how you know, by the way, if a song is good, if it catches on in a flash. That's how you know.
A flash.
Yeah. Would that song have lasted as long if it wasn't tied to a holiday, right? It's like one of our only Halloween pop songs.
It's the only one I can think of. Yeah. I can't think of any others. I mean, is there anything else? I don't think so.
I mean, Purple People Eater, kind of, you know, you hear that every once in a while.
Yeah.
And
you hear the Nightmare Before Christmas album and stuff like that.
A Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Thriller's very Halloween-y. That's true.
Yeah. Our last one.
The Hobby.
Well, not zombie, but Barbie. Barbie Girl by
Barbie Girl.
Try and get that piece of crap out of your head for the next few months.
Right.
I know. I feel like you can do it easily, though. Just glance at any one of these other ones, and you'll be back to having that in your head. So
Totally.
Yeah. Use this list to, like, I don't know, change your mind on things. Like, you're like, oh, man, I can't stop thinking
that. If you need to get something out of your head, just think of one of these 10.
Yeah.
And think good.
Think tub thumping. It'll get you every time. Well done guys.
That's good for Row Baby, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, you won. Yeah. Row Baby, how do you feel about your massive win?
Boot. I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
It'll work.
You'll take that to the bank. Fantastic. We'll send you these codes, but you got to email Brian, coverville@gmail.com. Yeah. Also, he'll send you that physical thing, so he'll probably be asking for your address, but we can promise you.
No, it's not a physical thing. It's a piece of paper.
Oh, you're just going to show him the code and all that.
I probably will just take a I'll scan it. Or
with a screen.
He waved it. He's fine. He waved it. It's fine.
I did. I waved it on purpose that time because I didn't want it.
I don't think anybody can scan that thing if it's being waved. By the way, we would have heard already if this worked for people, so I think we're good.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You did fine.
Yeah, just an email address of RoBaby to coverville@gmail.com, and I will get you these prizes.
Congratulations once again, sir. And we hope you play again. All right. There goes Row Baby. Here's the deal with Brian Dunaway. He and I do a show called the Play Retro Show. Yeah, it's called Play Retro. And we play a lot of retro games, and we talk about them and talk about the history of them and the impact of them and that sort of stuff. And this week, normally it's on Tuesday. This time it's today.
Yeah, today is Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. I had to shift some stuff around. So it's tonight, 3:30 cool. Mountain Time. This week only, we'll be doing an episode of Play Retro. So, like, literally right after DTNS ends, I run over to this and we do this. So, be there for that. We're talking about King's Quest, the early King's Quest games. Mm-hmm. And the bigger picture there is, you know, do adventure games, point-and-click adventure games, do they even exist without something like King's Quest? And I think there's a strong argument they don't. So
there's an argument to be had, and we're going to have it.
We're going to have that argument today. 3:30 Mountain, frogpants.tv. And if you can't watch it live, the podcast, of course, is wherever you get your podcasts, all over the place. And it's free, so go get it. Using Spotify, that's fine. It's right there. It's right there on Spotify. You get that horrible Google podcast player that always breaks on me? It's on there, too. So go and do what you got to do. Everything in between, it's available. Hey, Brian Dunaway, anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I play those video games nightly at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So come in, tune in. I've been playing King's Quest like crazy. What are we playing next, Scott? I think we might be playing some four-player 90s arcade action games.
Yeah, baby.
Up next. So if you tune in anytime this week after today, 6 p.m. Eastern time on my Twitch channel, you'll probably see me play it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, maybe? Simpsons? Yeah, I don't know.
Think Battletoads. Think we'll dip into some console versions, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time for the SNES is one of the greatest four-player co-op side-scrolling brawlers ever made. But we'll get into all that and more in our next episode after this one. All right. Hey, Brian, kiss our butts.
No,
see you.
You
later. Okay, Brian goes off into the ether.
I never even did tell you some of these other ones that made it into the list, but My Sharona, 99 Luftballoons, Hooked on a Feeling, Spirit in the Sky, No Rain, Bittersweet Symphony, Teenage Dirtbag. It's a good one.
Oh, I love
you know,
that one.
There were a few 90s ones, but for the most part, these all settled well into the 80s.
Yeah.
Even Blur's song number 2 made it in there. So woo-hoo! They said, woohoo!
Yeah, that's good. And it must have been a 90s action movie trailer when we last heard that.
That's right. It was. We asked 533 tadpoolers and 11 movie trailers what their favorite one-hit wonder was.
Nice. Kim and I were just talking about this because what was the song now? I can't remember what we talked about. There was something that's like this.
Oh, really? It's being used a lot now?
Yeah, and we just talked about it.
Add to the Bone by George Thorogood or...
gosh, dang it. I don't remember what it was. We just had this conversation. And so the fact that this was today's topic is pretty funny because we were just saying it. But now I don't remember what we said. Mm. It was good, though. I can tell you that. Me and my wife had a real laugh. If I remember it, I'll tell you. All right, here's this, everybody. It's time for some quick news brought to you by...
By America's Next Top Podcaster. Hey, it's on the feed right now. Episode 0, meet the contestants and hear what we give them for their first challenge. You can visit America's Next Top Podcaster, or if you've got in your podcast catcher, your Downcast, your Overcast, your Pocket Cast, your iTunes or your Apple Podcast app, which I think is just now called the Apple Podcast app. It'll be right in there for you. Episode 0, Season 4, America's Next Top Podcaster.
Very nice. Real quick here, I remember now. So Kim and I saw the Triangle Man. I can't think of the band all of a sudden.
Oh, They Might Be Giants.
They Might Be Giants. Jeez. Yes. We saw They Might Be Giants in concert not too many years ago here in Salt Lake at the Depot, and it was great. But they refused, even though people in the audience were chanting it at one point, they refused to play
the Malcolm in the Middle theme?
The Birdhouse in Your Soul thing.
Oh, really? Oh,
well, they refused to play it. And our best guess was, because even they would on stage were like, yeah, we're not playing that. And then they'd move on and do other stuff. And
seriously?
And they played everything else. I know. Isn't that weird? I really felt like, do they think that's their one-hit wonder, or that it's
John
too close to one?
John, what are you thinking?
Yeah, it annoyed me. I wanted to hear it.
That would annoy me too. I feel like that's something you don't do as an artist, right? Like if your crowd is demanding to hear something.
Yeah, so I yelled out.
And I know Radiohead. Radiohead won't do Creep in concert.
Oh, really? Same thing then.
They probably hated that song.
Probably same thing. Yeah, when something gets too big, everybody wants to avoid it. But I say, you know, I yelled out. Not to put too fine a point on it, play the song, I said. They didn't do it.
Nicely done.
They didn't do it.
Jonathan Colton recorded that at the Coverville 500 concert, his cover of that song. And
nice.
It's great. He even accidentally says Wakapiku at the very end of it, and it's magic.
We should all say Wakapiku at the end of things.
Wakapiku.
Yep. Always walk your piku. All right, look at this here. We got a horrible story. To start the news off today, a Southwest Airlines passenger. It's already a bit of a cattle car, but whatever. They're better than they used to be.
I like Southwest. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like the go on and pick your seats, but I've never had an issue where it's like, oh, I'm stuck in this crap seat. You know, I've always been able to get a seat that I'm comfortable in that I want.
So take this for what it's worth, and it's probably not worth much, but
yeah.
I've always had the impression that only children have an advantage. Only children.
Oh! I see what you mean. I thought you meant
not just kids.
Like specifically, children have the advantage, but you mean only children?
Only
have the advantage,
like people right, born don't have, with just you. Like you were you're an only child, right?
I am an only child. Yeah,
and I know a number of others. I was not. There were 6 of us. Mm-hmm. I feel like for some reason there's an advantage there to the idea that, let's say you got to go visit a relative and you're the only one going and you're on a cattle car type deal where you got to wait for a number to come up and then you're just lucky to get whatever seat you get. I feel like for some reason that lands easier for an only child who is not constantly competing with the 5 other kids.
Well,
than it would for me. I again, completely based on nothing. It's just an impression I have.
Well, here's the thing. Southwest, before they let the B people on, right? So first you get your A people and they have everybody in numbers, assigned numbers. So it's like, all right, A1 through 30 on this side, A31 through 60 on this other side. They let those guys go. And then they say, all right, parents with small children. Mm-hmm. And then so those guys all get in so that they can get groups of seats together and that sort of thing. And you know, Southwest doesn't have the seats, those horrible seats that face each other anymore.
No, they got rid of that.
Thank God. Yeah, that's...
we used to have to do a kind of a commuter flight back and forth to Idaho for a company I worked for, and so we were always back and forth from Boise, and the it was always in those facing each other seats. They were terrible.
You know, what's worse than sitting next to somebody who doesn't bring a magazine on the flight and just stares forward the whole time is facing them.
Yeah, facing them and having your knees touch because I'm a tall guy. It sucks. It's a horrible arrangement. Yeah. I can't believe they ever did that.
Well, I can think of one thing worse on a flight, and we're about to read it.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Southwest Airlines passenger arrested for masturbating. Not just once, not twice. Four times during the flight.
Four times.
Man. Four separate times.
Didn't even have time to eat his pretzels and peanuts?
No kidding. Man on Southwest Airlines flight from Seattle to Phoenix is facing several federal charges for pulling down his pants and masturbating.
This isn't just like I'm wearing some loose sweatpants or something and going to town with those.
This isn't like somebody fiddly diddly in the corner and nobody can watch him. He's going full on exposure here.
Yeah.
Let's see. He did this four times in front of a female passenger beginning shortly after takeoff, according to a criminal complaint first obtained by the Daily Beast. Antonio Sherrod McGarity. Mm. I don't trust any of those names.
Nope. we're not bias or anything, but you put all three of those names together is weird stuff.
You get a serial killer name is what you get.
McGarity sounds like Raylan Givens was going after him.
Yeah, or something like that. Wasn't there a McGarity in Friday Night Lights? Yeah, there was a guy named McGarity, or maybe it was just Garrity.
Just Garrity? Yeah, I think you're right.
The actor that that played the guy that owned all the local car lots.
And was, yes, like, had a bunch right. of money. And his daughter was, what's her face?
Minka Kelly's character.
Minka Kelly, yes, right, yes.
Who, by the way, Garrity. She was in Euphoria and still a stunning woman. She's beautiful. Yeah. By the way, she's the daughter of Aerosmith.
She's the actual daughter of somebody?
Not Aerosmith lead man, but who's the guitar guy?
Oh, Joe Perry?
Joe Perry's daughter is Minka Kelly.
Get the hell out of here, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so both of those two dudes have two very successful actor daughters.
Rick Dufay from Aerosmith.
Oh, I don't know which one, whoever's name. Yeah.
Yeah.
But an Aerosmith guy.
Another Aerosmith guy, yes. Yeah.
The Aerosmith guys have a history of making wonderful young actor daughters. Well done, guys. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Rhythm guitar, lead guitar from 1981 to 1984. Rick Dufay.
There you go.
Parent of Minka Kelly.
Yeah. You never would know Aerosmith, they did it in an elevator, is my understanding. And as a result, two great daughters. Good job.
Do you think she's friends with Liv Tyler, or do you think
I don't know. I mean, you'd think that I'm sure the bandmates never talk, especially the one who's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So would the daughters go out of their way to be like, you guys suck, we're going to be friends? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Hmm. And by the way, yeah, Garrity was the character name. She was Lila Garrity, and I'm trying to find...
Oh, what's his name? I'm going to guess it here.
You can get it before I find in the cast list.
Jim Garrity, John Garrity, Gary Garrity. Nope, that wouldn't be it. I just don't know it. Russell Garrity?
He's not in the main group. I have to go further down. Buddy Garrity.
Buddy!
Ah! Bradley Lindaz. Buddy Garrity.
That guy's a great actor.
He is.
Very good. Yeah. I like him in lots of stuff. All right. Moving on. Oh, anyway, so he did this.
Silverado.
Oh, yeah. He was in Silverado. And Silverado's awesome. Never forget. Never surrender. all right. What did I say? Oh, anyway, let's see. Antonio, he was arrested. Officers of the Phoenix Police Department and Southwest Flight people, the air marshal guy, they all landed in the Sky Harbor airport on Saturday. And according to the complaint, he told cops he didn't do anything wrong and, in fact, thought it was kind of kinky.
It wasn't me, but it was kind of kinky.
It's kind of kinky. Like, that's going to help you. I don't understand that.
Right, yeah. I didn't do anything wrong. Oh, jeez.
Garrett exposed his ween-ween by pulling down his pants and shorts and began doing the doo-dah there. When the female seated next to him noticed the lewd behavior, she began taking pictures of McGarrity, not in the way you're thinking. When he fell asleep,
kind of too.
It says when he fell asleep after masturbating for roughly an hour. I don't know if that means roughly for an hour or for roughly an hour. Probably
or he slept very roughly. Because I would argue that his waking time was pretty rough too.
Nothing about this guy's good. The female passenger told crew member about what she had witnessed and was allowed to move to another seat. Well, I hope that's the least you get, lady. You should be able to move seats and also get free drinks and
free flight. You should get to pick whatever seat you want on the next five Southwest flights you go on.
I agree 100%. And that guy should have to pay for it from jail. Yeah. All right. That's it for today's news.
Do all the masturbating he wants.
That's right. Four or more is what he likes. Okay. There's your story and that's your news. We're going to take a break. When we return, one Randy Jordan, a.k.a. Randy Deluxe, will be joining us for an episode of Recommendals. Tom Merritt is out this morning with an appointment, but he's fine. He'll be back next week, so don't worry about that. But anyway, we'll be back with that shortly. Brian, play a song before we go.
I'll happily do that. Now, tell me what you think. If I were to say, a Turkish rock band, what do you think they would sound like?
Oh.
Like weird instruments or strange accents or like... weird sort of sound to them or something like that.
I'm going to guess grungy with a kind of an odd accent.
Well,
that's the best
that's
I got.
Closer to what you're going to get. Yeah, alternative rock band. Boy, is this not having to do anything with our last story. Bits and Pockets have a brand new song and video called Halfway Through an Episode. This is going to be coming out on their debut EP, which comes out April 29th via MMY Records. Their debut EP is called The Bits. You'll find the song Halfway Through an Episode. Here's Bits in Pockets.
Out of the city, waiting for a drink. Waiting for the time, sitting next to me, straight whiskey. Won't listen to the words before you try to make it a curse. That I had such a folding around the neck. Sitting to her right just when I sit on the left. I'm slurring all my words so she kisses goodbye. But the pub is closing soon and I'll be smoking outside. And she says, he went home tonight. So do you want me to stay? And I said, even though you tried to make sense, you won't be. Episode of a show you tried to watch but never kept it on. Maybe I just gotta hurry home, so I'm slowly walking through with compassion. She's never gonna stop a hit of cop. She'll find another man through her lashes. She's never gonna stop. Kids will never grow. Surely lost my pride, so I'll take it home.
Hot dogs on a piece of bread. That's what I'm having for lunch.
I heard the burp. The Morning Stream.
Space Rock.
All right, we're back, everybody. That song, please tell me about it again.
Sure. It's called Bits in Pockets. Or, sorry, the band is Bits in Pockets. Halfway through an episode from the upcoming EP, The Bits, which is coming out April 29th. Check it out.
Very nice. That sounds great to me.
Good stuff.
All right. Adding Randy, although he's showing his offline, so this will be fun. I don't know if he's actually here. But we're going to find out. It says he's currently in World of Warcraft. Randy, is that true? Are you in World of Warcraft?
Always in World of Warcraft.
Are you just always in World of Warcraft? Hello, Randy?
Randy?
You muted? I think you might be muted.
Randy?
He's blinking, but no speaky. Oh.
Randy, are you out on the lanai? Are you on the lanai, Randy?
Yeah,
are you up there? Are you under a palm tree, Randy? Are you drinking a pineapple drink, Randy?
You got a fancy drink with a little umbrella coming out of there?
Cone of coffee, Randy?
Yeah. Oh, I heard something.
I did too, yeah.
Say something. Oh, there he is.
You heard good morning, morning.
Right? Good morning, morning. Hi, Randy. How are you? Yeah. Oh, I forgot to play this. Okay, there you go. There's your theme. Hey, look who it is. It's Randy. He's joining us from Hawaii, where he's still on vacation and still, you know, deciding that it might be fun to hang out with us for a part of it.
Aloha. And that was my Bluetooth headset deciding, oh, I could be in the party here.
Yeah, why not?
Got that turned off.
No, it gets so flaky. Like I did that. I had the Bluetooth going when I did the fish sandwich face off thing. And like once I disconnected the Bluetooth, everything sounded so much better. And I couldn't explain it. It was so weird.
I still don't know why it was that way. Yeah.
I want to catch up with you on the subject of objectivity versus what you like.
Go for it.
Because okay. I love that you ask the tadpole, hey, name something that you like.
Oh,
that's
sure.
That's going to get engagement. That's going to get people to say things. But objectively, the biggest one-hit wonders are things we don't like. For example, Achy Breaky Heart. By far one of the biggest one-hit wonders. It spawned a career for a child that wasn't even born yet, that song, right?
It kind of did, yeah. Wouldn't we have a Miley if we didn't have an Achy Breaky?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I went to see a band based on a one-hit wonder about 20 years ago. And I mean, it's a towering one-hit wonder. A song that you can't imagine this band has other songs. I went and saw them live. They were incredible. They're from the south of France. So everything they sing is in like Spanish, French. So I didn't know anything I was hearing. And it was all new to me, except their very last song they played, which was Bamboleo by the Gypsy Kings. And I'm telling you, man, Bamboleo by the Gypsy Kings should have been number one on your one-hit, global one-hit wonders,
come on.
Right?
Over Take On Me or Come On Eileen or...
No, right, because you asked what you like, right? Like, it's not, I mean, some band from the south of France... You're not going to vote for that.
Yeah, but nobody likes half of that list we saw. I think a lot of those were just like, well, I shouldn't say nobody likes them, but
you know, those lists are based on popularity.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And even if you don't like it, if you knew it off the top of your head or you were in the top three choices or whatever, that says something about the song. We may hate it, but it doesn't
Achy
mean
Breaky would have been a big hit if people didn't like to line dance drunk at weddings.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. And we also have the opposite, which is as an individual where you irrationally dislike something that everybody else likes.
Because for me, everybody else likes it.
For me, that one hit wonder is the song Werewolves of London. I hate that song.
Werewolves of London. Whoa.
Scott, hang up on him right now.
This is it.
You don't besmirch Warren Zevon in my presence, my friend.
Thank you. I don't even know the guy's name because that song is so... There's something... It's irrational. It's absolutely irrational, right?
Yeah.
Like I saw someone post on Facebook the other day that they hate Timothée Chalamet, and I'm just like, oh, that's an irrational thing for that one person.
I like that Timothée Chalamet. I like him. Yeah. He's fine.
I like that his name rhymes if you say it the right way.
Yeah.
Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, no, I think
Timothée Chalamet.
He's got some chops. That guy will be around. He's a little, you know, he's a little bit of a weirdo, but whatever. They all are. They're
maybe
all weird.
Maybe he needs to put a shirt on. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah,
maybe wear, clothes. Whatever.
My, what's, oh gosh, there's a one-hit wonder that my wife hates. Something in the sky.
Spirit in the sky by Norman.
Yeah. That song is a one-hit wonder.
So the one that definitely we heard all the time in the 80s was the one that was the cover of another
Doctor
one, right?
and the Medics.
Yeah, Doctor and the Medics. That's it. That's the only one I was familiar with until I met you and you played other covers the and original. Then mentioned that it was from an original. I was like, what? Tainted Love? I didn't know that till you told us.
But the Doctor and the Medics cover, I feel, is such a carbon copy of the original that it was one of those, why'd you do it? Or why'd you do it like that?
Why'd you bother? Yeah. Maybe they're just new generation.
Of course, as I've learned, if you are a person like my wife who hates a song like that, like Spirit in the Sky, you're gonna be hearing it all the time.
Once you hate something, all of a sudden it's like noticing that the other checkout line moves faster, kind of thing.
I honestly, I never heard of Warren Zevon until his episode of Arliss. He was on the show Arliss.
Yeah.
And they played the song. And I was just like, I don't know who this is. I've never heard this. And then for the rest of my life, I hear that song all the time.
It's kind of why I hate Kid Rock. It's one of the reasons I don't like Kid Rock is because of him taking Werewolves of London, Sweet Home Alabama, and then just throwing new lyrics on them. I mean, is that, come on. Yeah.
I'm also fascinated by the concept of two-hit wonders because I think like that's way harder to do.
If one hit wonders could have a second hit, they'd be really happy about
it. It's like the outfield. The outfield's got like two songs that are epically memorable, and then the rest of it's pretty good.
What's the other one besides Your Love?
So you got Vacation Far Away.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
All right, and then the other one is Since You've Been Gone.
That's really good, Scott.
I love those guys.
my best possible example of a two-hit wonder is the band Mr. Mister. Because not only were their two hits really big hits, but those two songs, you can run them together.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Yeah. Take These Broken Wings, Carrie.
Those two songs.
I feel the same way about Night Ranger, but I'm probably the only one. I'm sure there are a lot of people who are like, "Oh, Night Ranger's awesome." Shut up, Brian.
And I'm kind of with you though. They're not. They're okay. They're fine.
I could talk about this forever, but I also have something.
Oh, good. You got recommendals. Let's do that. Yeah, let's watch recommendals. Cool. So we got some stuff here, Brian. You always start first, and I see you've got two this week. What do you want to do here?
I've got a movie and a series, so we're going to start with the movie for this one.
All right, here you go.
Monsieur Poirot, I hope you can forgive my hijacking your holiday. Couldn't let you miss the fun.
It is an honor, and it is convenient to my own plans. Although travel by water does not naturally agree with me. Oh, I could tell you. Well, I should not tell you, actually. But I suspect you... perhaps may have included me for reasons other than the fun.
I wish we'd gone home, like you said. I don't feel safe here. Not me, not Simon, even with Jackie gone.
But you are among friends.
When you have money, no one is ever really your friend. Now I'm remembering old jealousies and fights. And it takes a pill to get to sleep. I don't feel safe with any of them. I hoped you might watch for us.
Sounds like French people.
It's sort of, yeah. Hercule Poirot is the person you barely hear in that thing. That's Kenneth Branagh as the fictional detective created by Agatha Christie for Death on the Nile, the sequel to Murder on the Orient Express.
Wow. It's already some strong opinions in the chat about how they think it's terrible.
Listen, I'm not going to try and say, oh no, it's great. It's better than average. You know what? If you need something, just kind of put on and let your mind wander for a little while. There are far worse things you could watch. I know that sounds like the worst thing to say for a recommendal, but I think it's worth seeing.
Yeah. You're fitting into a track for recommendals for me that is very specific, and that is I am looking around at things to watch, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, would Scott or Brian tell me that this is the good Russell Brand and not the bad Russell Brand, right?
Because
that's all I need.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, that would be good or bad Russell Brand?
100% good. Russell Brand, right?
Okay. I don't think you're going to get. Russell Brand is in this, and you recognize him and say, "Oh, that's Russell Brand," but barely. Like, he's super clean cut. There's none of that whole kind of stinky Russell Brandiness of him open or happening.
But you know what I mean, right? Like, are you telling
me he doesn't look like this? He smells like Russell Brand usually looks like.
Yeah.
Are you telling me watch this and I'm not going to hate it because of this person? That's what I'm asking.
Oh yeah, no, you absolutely won't hate it. You won't hate Thank it because you. Of any person. You'll at first say, "Oh, is that Margot Robbie? No, it looks like Margot Robbie's little sister, but it's not. It's who is that? Emma Mackey, I believe is her name, and you know her from Sex Education. She's the love interest of the main character who gives the sex advice and is Gillian Anderson's son.
Oh, yeah,
his girlfriend that he really likes.
Yeah, like her,
Maeve. No. She's great. And in this, it's like, at first you're thinking, "Oh, I didn't know Margot Robbie was in this," but
that's not her. So hold on a second. Is it like, this is a follow-up to the train one.
It is Murder on the Orient Express. And you've got a big, just like in that one, you've got a cavalcade of stars. You've got Annette Bening, Gal Gadot, who you heard in that clip there, Armie Hammer, Jennifer Saunders and Don French, so French and Saunders from Absolutely Fabulous, like the British comedy pair playing a couple of people in this, but are not funny at all.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird.
So wait, Armie Hammer. Okay. I thought Armie Hammer was banned for putting his wiener somewhere it wasn't supposed to go or something. Didn't he get in trouble? I didn't know he was in movies anymore. I thought
he's allowed
done.
To put it on the Nile, apparently. He's allowed to to do movies now that if they're shot in Egypt, then you can do that.
So did this land better than the previous one? Is the previous one better? I still haven't seen either, so curious.
I think they're actually pretty close to on par with each other, and I'd give them both like a C+, B- kind of thing. They're worth seeing. And you get some great performances by some people you really like. Letitia Wright from Black Panther is also in this. They're not, it's not going to be the best mystery that you've ever seen, best mystery movie you've ever seen. But these are the movies that if we didn't have the originals, or the original books, we wouldn't have Murder by Death or Clue or things like that. It's, these all kind of owe a lot those movies all kind of owe a lot to Agatha Christie and Murder on the Orient Express and Death on the Nile. Mm. It's good. I'd say it's good. And I'd say it's worth seeing. It's my second recommendal might be a little bit higher on the list, but we enjoyed this.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So a good, nice sit down, watch it kind of deal.
Yeah, and I've never seen the Peter Houstonov, the original version of Death on the Nile. There was a 70s one that people are talking about in the chat room, and I'm trying to – who was in that one? Was that Houstonov?
I'm looking it up right here.
Yeah, 1978, Peter Houstonov, Death on the Nile.
Yep, there you go. He was Perrault in that?
He was Hercule Poirot, yes. Had a much less silly-looking mustache than – Kenneth Branagh had in this one.
And my favorite named actor in the history of the world. So Mia Farrow's in that, but also Simon McCorkindale. That guy's in there. That's a great name. McCorkindale.
That is great.
Yeah, but the original also has Maggie Smith, Angela Lansbury, Betty Davis, Mia Farrow, David Niven.
Yeah, like, George Kennedy. Yeah. He was cool. I like that
George
guy.
George Kennedy from the from the police squad movies.
Jack Warden, rather. Yeah.
It's
probably pretty good. It's well regarded. I don't, this new one, I just kept hearing nasty things about it, so I didn't rush to see it, but.
Yeah. It doesn't deserve any hate. It's good. It's, It's good. It's a you know, like I said, a B minus C plus kind of movie.
Okay.
I love that. I'm just going to hold that phrase for a while.
Yeah.
The Morning Stream. It doesn't deserve any hate.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Put that on my gravestone. All right. Yeah. Excellent. Next one. We got a TV series. Yeah.
Oh, I will tell you this. There are very few subtitles in Death on the Nile.
Oh, well, then so. I'm in. Let's go. Let's do it. That will not hold me back at all. All right. Here's your TV show. This is one I started watching, so I'm very curious to hear what you say at the end of it. So here we go.
We're looking for an artist. Someone who can restore a recently acquired collection of damaged videotapes.
Well, what kind of damage?
Fire damage. Smoke, soot, water. The fragment you digitized is part of the collection.
The fire at the Visser building, right?
That's right. In any case, the contents of the tapes would need to be kept confidential for legal purposes. The fee would be $100,000.
Well,
there's just one hitch. Because the materials are so fragile, they can't be moved. So you'd be doing the work at our remote research facility in the Catskills. It's beautiful up there. Not a bad place to be all alone.
Right.
Before you say no, Dan, here's why. I think you're our guy. Creating this archive, putting this puzzle together, finding out what happened at the Visser, well, it would mean the world to everyone who lost someone in that fire. And I know you have a special understanding of a situation like that.
Okay.
So you're telling me that one of my favorite podcasts was made into a TV show.
Is that what this is?
I honestly did not know.
True. I didn't know. Oh, really? You like the podcast Archive 81?
Yes.
I never knew it. I didn't. Yes. This is the first time hearing that was a thing. I had no idea.
I didn't find out it was a podcast until I did some deep diving into it after I started watching it. So, yeah, sure enough, Archive 81, based on a podcast. I don't know how long the podcast lasted, but sadly, I'm going to preface this whole thing by saying Archive 81 just recently, within the last couple of weeks, was canceled. So we're not going to get a season 2. Oh. And I'm going to tell you that while the storyline comes to somewhat of a conclusion, it doesn't tie up all the loose ends. But it ties up enough to where you can justify it as a Black Mirror episode kind of ending.
Okay.
Well, the podcast went 3 seasons. What's a season of a podcast anymore?
Yeah,
it's just the beginning and ending of a story, right?
Yeah, right,
it's 35 episodes.
Yeah, they did 10 episodes per season. There was they have something called Left of the Dial, which was like extra stuff. And that was an extra 3 episodes.
A podcast about the podcast, probably.
Maybe. Maybe. I had never even heard of this until today.
Yeah. So we had somebody who recommended this to us and said, oh, yeah, if you like this and this and this other thing, you'd like Archive 81. And so you and I both started watching it. It started out for me strong. I know it wavered a little bit for you.
Yeah.
For me, it wavered a little bit in the next to last episode. And it does that thing that so many of these shows do these days, which is the second to last episode is going to be a weird flashback that doesn't have any of the characters you love from the other episodes, but it's going to kind of help explain everything that's going on.
Mm.
I want to say Haunting of Hill House and, the other things that guy has done kind of do that.
Midnight Mass, that kind of stuff.
Midnight Mass, that's the other one I was
really thinking of, yeah. Midnight Mass.
I
loved it, but didn't it do that thing where I'm not saying that those faltered in the second to last episode, but they all did that thing where they do a flashback episode for the next to last
episode. I feel like that's just standard for the genre now.
I don't remember Midnight Mass doing that. I think that can be really egregious, so I'm kind of surprise.
I think it
can
be done right. I'm also one of those people that thinks the Fly episode of Breaking Bad is good.
Yeah.
And everyone else is annoyed by this one-off weird thing where they don't actually progress most of the story, but I actually really like it. There's a word for it. Yeah. We've talked about this before. There's a name for those episodes. It's like, shit, whatever it is. But yeah, I'm a fan of that sort of thing. But my thing, what wavered for me in the beginning of this, I think, was a comparison I was making immediately to what both the emailer had told us it was like, but also what I had just finished watching. So he was like, oh, if you like Devs, if you like Brand New Cherry Flavor, you like these weird kind of things, boy, you really like this. And I had just finished Brand New Cherry Flavor, and this is not to those standards. Like, it's not as good as that.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. It's
good.
I can't imagine that it would be, because this is, this is a straight horror story, right?
Like it's a thriller. It's a supernatural thriller. There's some horror elements. I'd say that it's a little less horror-y than the Haunting of Hill House and Midnight Mass and stuff like that, but it's in that, more in that vein, I'd say, than it is the Devs kind of thing.
Yeah, that was my impression as well. Yeah, and it's definitely, and you know, it's misleading because everyone says, "Oh, found footage," but it's not really, not in the traditional sense of found footage.
Not in the not in the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah,
it's based on the concept of fictitious footage that's found.
Well,
basically.
Not so, just that, but what I mean is, like, if you're watching Blair Witch, like Brian alluded to, you know, that is like everything's about this old video. And the whole story is being told through people taping their experience, and then we found that footage. This is actors acting out scenes, doing things, who are now working on some found footage themselves.
Right,
but exactly. It's really a bad label. I don't think it should be called that.
Yeah, yeah. It's so just to kind of recap what the intro told us. So the story is about a guy who's hired to go up to a secluded private residence in the Catskills and restore some video footage that was recovered from a fire of this apartment building in New York. And he's skilled at this. He can take stuff apart and take the tape out and clean the tape and do all these things to kind of resurrect the tape, which blows my mind that, you know, I would think that the magnetic tape inside a case would melt way before the outside of a case would, he's able to do this. And through this, he gets to watch this sort of documentary study that this woman is creating about this apartment building and the people inside it. And she's got kind of an ulterior motive for doing this that we find out an episode or two in. But it kind of goes from there. And there's, like I said, a demon supernatural kind of element to this, that occult that gets uncovered. The ending, although isn't, you know, is technically the ending of the series, the season ending is satisfying for the most part. Like I said, I definitely would have liked a second season of this to kind of explore another character's further journey in here. Mm-hmm. But you do get kind of, like I said, kind of like a Black Mirror episode. If you think of it as like a Black Mirror, like what's going to happen now, roll credits, then it's a very satisfying ending.
That's a good way of looking at it. That's what I would say about
the best fictional podcasts that are out there. They're audio versions of Black Mirror. And that's really what I like to find, listen to more because, you know, Charlie Booker, man, he's in no rush.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I think it's a very hard medium, dramatic podcast content, or in radio. It doesn't matter. Like anywhere where anybody's doing like acted out drama on a podcast, I think that's freaking hard. And to make it come sound right and be right and all that. Like even the best audiobooks often when they're done that way, where they've got multiple actors and things, even those you're just like, well, it's not quite the same as seeing this or whatever. Mm-hmm. So when anyone can pull that off, and it sounds like Archive 81 did, because it was by all accounts very popular. I just never heard of it.
The main character is a little bit of a connection to a previous recommendal that both Nicole and I did for the TV show Cake, that weird short form animated but sometimes not animated anthology thing.
Oh,
main character is played by Mamadou Athi, who is he was the main character in the it was a live action segmented thing that you'd get multiple parts of in Cake.
That was that weird talking tree thing. There was a tree in that.
Yes.
I remember this. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and he's great. He's a great main character to have in this. As far as everybody else, there's, you know, a lot of people you're like, oh, I think I know something about, like I've seen her maybe. Dina Shihabi is the main actress, Melody Pendress.
Oh, we and know once, her from some stuff.
I thought we did, and I didn't look back to see
Jack if, Ryan. I don't know if you guys saw that.
She was. I saw. She Jack was in Ryan. The Altered Carbon.
And, oh, okay.
One episode of Daredevil.
Yeah.
Once I saw that her eyes don't line up, I couldn't unsee that. And I know that's a me thing. This but once Nina, I saw that.
Yeah.
Dina Shihabi you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Her eyes don't line up?
No, that's yeah. Funny. Go look at her on IMDb. They don't line up. And look, you know, I know none of us are purely symmetrical. No, I know
exactly.
That.
But... I know, Claire. I know. I'm not a, and I don't, I think she's beautiful. Don't, you know,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong at all. But
this is like Brian and Chins. It's the same deal. It's fine.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Like Brian and Chins.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No one's woman. Eyes will be more higher or lower than each other than Shannon Doherty. So this is still pretty.
Shannon Doherty raises and lowers the yes. bar at the same time.
Yes, and yes. I hope she beats her cancer. She's awesome. All right, anyway, moving
yes,
on.
Absolutely. Yes, I won't be IS'd. But anyway, Archive 81, I should have said. So Archive 81 on Netflix and Death on the Nile on HBO Max.
Very nice. Here's mine. It's a documentary. It's on Netflix. And I was hoping to finish it before the show. I didn't quite. But I think I've seen enough to make a recommendation. So here you go.
I went to dinner last night. Pure food and wine. It's all raw food. Nothing is cooked.
Oh.
At the next table, it was a super hot blonde. Then it turned out she was the owner of the place.
I started 9 years ago, and people didn't really understand this whole vegan thing. We've been growing steadily year after year.
Pharma was the raw vegan queen.
Okay. It's short, but it's Bad Vegan.
Fame. It's a show where everybody tells you they're a vegan.
It's where all bad vegans just tell you they're vegans. Well, and she does a little of that too. But Bad Vegan, Fame, Fraud, Fugitives. Those are all words in the title. This is a series on Netflix. It's part of their, you know, it's one of these true crime things Netflix does. You'd know the filmmakers from their Fire Festival doc that was so good. What was that just called? Yeah. Fire? Fire?
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, there were two of them, but let's assume it was the better one.
Yeah, the better one.
The one where we find out what it takes to get a case of water delivered to the fire festival?
I think so. It was one of those. It was the one on Netflix, and I think that was the better one. The Hulu one was fine, too. It was just like more talking and less actual footage on the ground. But anyway, they're good at it. They're good documentarians, and turns out they made another one that I think is quite good and fascinating. This Bad Vegan thing is about this lady who in the early 2000s, early to mid, well, almost, I guess 2010 would have been about the heyday for this. But anyway, she was somebody who was planning on going into finance. She had just graduated college and she was super stoked about all this stuff. And then eventually people talked her into doing her passion, which was food. So her and a fellow restaurateur in New York, this is the short version of it, started a restaurant that is all raw food and wine, specialty wines. And it took off like crazy. Like celebrities loved it. You'd see Alec Baldwin there every day. And there's a big part of Alec Baldwin stuff in this story. He's kind of weird. But anyway, it's all about this restaurant and how it was going and stuff until she met somebody via Words with Friends.
Oh, weird.
And this
it's
guy.
All speaking of Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. And this guy turned out to be a complete and utter psycho. Like, I don't know if I've ever, they have all these like phone calls that he didn't know were being recorded of him. I have never heard anybody quite so manipulative and so abusive in my entire life. Horrible human being.
Wow.
She got her hook, line, and sinker into this relationship. It all ended up with her on the run at one point. So she was actually, you know, on the lam for fraud that wasn't actually her fault. Her employees all did a big walkout. This is all happening about 2015 or so. She eventually did get arrested. She's in this documentary, basically telling her end of things. It is fascinating. I didn't expect to like it. It's really good. It has almost nothing to do with veganism, like nothing other than she for a while there was like in all the food magazines and all the interviews on daytime television. They were all talking to this lady because she had this raw food idea and was going to take over the world. It was huge in New York and they were going to put restaurants in Japan and England and all these other places. Just a fascinating story about that side of it, but that's all the veganism you're going to get. There's nothing else to that. Fascinating story. Totally recommend it. It's on Netflix. It's an original. Just came out there this year, but I couldn't tell you when. A couple months ago, I think. And it's like six episodes. I'm four in. And so I don't know how things are going to end up, but it's really fascinating and really well made. I always just tell a documentary that has more to say than just dramatic music and bad reenactments. Yeah. And this is one of those where they go, they're very careful about that stuff. And they, you know, they're not just trying to shove something down your throat. Apparently toward the end, there's a phone call that is really earth shattering that she recorded. That's kind of controversial now because I guess there was some coordination between her and the documentary filmmakers to get the call made. It doesn't change its impact, I guess, but some people question whether the filmmaker should have anything to do with anything anyone's doing other than just documenting. Anyway, so I'm anxious to get there and see what the hell's going on. But yeah, check it out. Bad Vegan, Fame, Fraud, and Fugitives. Available on Netflix now. All right, Randy. I've been holding this one since forever. What do you got here for April 6th? Hello?
I've got a big red bar in Discord as well.
Oh, that's no good. Let's see what we got.
We still hear you.
If you're hearing me,
we hear you.
It's a, you know, it's a TV show that I really like.
Okay.
And I hope there's more of it.
All right, let's play it and see what we got.
Really fills the space, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's fine.
Now, where was I?
Being a pirate captain.
Ah, yes. Now, every pirate captain captains pirates differently. Traditionally, piracy is a culture of abuse. Floggings, keel haulings. And my thought is, why? And also, what if it weren't like that? For example, if your average pirate doesn't steal, he doesn't eat. That's a lot of mental pressure. So, I pay my crew a salary, same wage every week, no matter what. Of course, it took them a while to come round to the idea. But I've included some amenities on the ship that I think will please them. Rec Center.
Oh!
What is your f***ing game? State-of-the-art ensuite. Non-humans. The ballroom.
So this is Murray and Hodor go to float in a ocean, right? That's
hanging out with fake Hitler.
Yes.
Fake Hitler.
This is Our Flag Means Death. Yeah. And it is, as you heard, a comical documentary style. Reminded me initially very, very much of Norseman. Mm. Only so much better. It's so much better. There's lots of shows out there that try to, you know, be The Office on a space station or the office at a park ranger camp in the Grand Canyon. This is a pirate ship. This is a British lower noble in the Caribbean who just decides, I want to captain a pirate ship. Gets a bunch of random people on it, and that's sail for adventure.
Nice.
And it is really funny, and it's really well crafted. That's the main thing. They it's not a show that goes by the seat of its pants. It's got a story to tell.
Do you it feels like Taika Waititi has a plan to get all the genres done. So, you know, he gets in there with his vampires and gets the What We Do in the Shadows, and it's amazing. And now he's got this pirate thing, ninja movie next or ninja show next. He's got his Reservation Dogs thing.
I don't really feel like Taika Waititi's hand is on this.
Really?
Really? He's like showrunner creator on this thing.
He definitely shows up.
He's main dude.
Yeah, I thought he was.
Yeah. Yeah. Our flag means
Our flag means death. It was created by a guy named David Jenkins, and Taika Waititi does show up in a guest role, and I mean he may be in the producer's list, but I didn't feel like this is just What We Do in the Shadows or Pirates. It is quite a bit different. It just has a different sensibility. And
You're right. Producer. He's a producer. You're right. Totally right.
Like I say, it's a little challenging. If you don't like this kind of thing a lot, you're going to freaking hate this because it captures every trope that has been established from Christopher Guest all the way to Amy Poehler. Like it captures all of that. And it's got a big helping of Monty Python. But it, you know, if you do like that kind of thing, this is as good as it gets. They really know what they're doing.
I like everything you just described, so I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. This is one we're for sure watching. It was just a matter of like, when are we sitting down to do it? So.
Yeah, and I love that HBO made this happen because they the ability of a studio to throw $10 million, you know, at a random The Office R Pirates project is crazy that happens, that can happen.
Yeah.
And I think they really hit a home run here.
That's awesome. I'm totally down to see this. I was supposed to interview, Christian was going to come on and do an interview for some show, talking about this, but then I guess this exploded. Like after critics got a hold of it and everyone loved it, they amped up or tripled the like pressers and like the visit, you know, doing the interviews and all that stuff. So he just went poof. There was like no getting him on anything.
Oh, wow. Well, and let's set expectations. You don't watch this show for Christian.
Man. Oh, I assume not. You know how, he's just like a side character. Right?
You know how you don't watch Mythic Quest for Danny Pudi? This is the same thing. He is so underused.
Yeah.
He's Christian Aaron is barely in this show, and that's fine. It's not, you know, it's not his. Right. I wish they had known how much I want to see more of him.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's just a, you know, he's a giant dude who can be your good background giant dude. Makes sense.
Yeah. There's some really cool surprises. I don't want to talk about anything past the first scene because all sorts of interesting character development takes place in the first few episodes.
Nice. All right. Well, it is already on my watch list. We're going to definitely watch this. If you missed any of this stuff, don't worry. Someone will post it somewhere. Randy's on vacation somewhere. He's not doing that.
Mm-hmm. I've got it on. I'm putting it on quicktms.li right now.
Yep. So go get it there. Quicktms.li. Yeah, that's right. .li. Doesn't mean it's not true, though. Randy, I hope you're having a great time. I know you'll be, I guess you get home this week, right? End of this week?
Yeah, a few days. It has been so, so good. I mean, every day has just been so good. I'm melting into the landscape. Today we're about to go get in some kayaks and paddle up the Hanalei River, and I may never return.
Yeah,
so
why
it was
would you?
Nice
why would you?
You?
You should stay there. Oh, it was nice knowing you. Stay there. When I'm there, you can have us over. But other than that, yeah, escape. Be done. Live there. I
you
like
can
that.
Be so jelly.
Yeah, I'm very jelly. All right, man. We'll see you later. Bye now. Okay. Well, all right. You know that was great, but you know what's even greater?
What's that?
That we accomplished yet another show today.
We did it.
I would like to share a weird email, though, toward the end of the show here. If you'd like to send your own weird emails in, that email address is a simple one, themorningstream@gmail.com. This is from, I'll just read it as I got it.
Yeah, please do. Yes.
Hi. It says, hi, my name is Tooth, like teeth. Okay. My name is Tooth. Do you think my name is weird? Thank you. Sincerely, Tooth.
Yes.
I didn't reply.
Next email.
I don't even know what to say. Like, what is this? And who are you? And why did you send this? And was it just to get me to read it? Because maybe that's what they did.
Yeah.
Maybe they were just oh, I know what I'll get Scott to do. He'll read this for sure if I leave this weird thing about my name being Tooth.
Right. But you know what? It may be weird to us, but we'll never, ever forget it. Nope. You know, we may not be able to always remember a Mike or a Matt or a Joe or a John, but we'll always remember Tooth.
Retlaw in the chat says that person is 10. Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. Sure we have some young listeners who would think it's, you know, this is like your refrigerator running kind of prank call or whatever. They're just
sure.
They're just trying to find their way. They're workshopping their humor.
this is going to be in their tight 10 when they get up on stage in front of the hot lights. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That's exactly right. Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Tooth, if that is your real name.
I hope you grow up and birth a child named Chip.
Oh, that'd be great. Little Chip Tooth.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the last name, though, is like Tooth?
Chip, son of Tooth.
I hope it's Tooth, letter E for middle name, Tooth E, Grin, last name Grin.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So Chippy Grin. That doesn't work
tooth
as well.
Tooth DK.
Yeah, Tooth DK is even better. All right. There you go. Send your emails, themorningstream@gmail.com. Support us if you can at patreon.com/TMS because, man, the lights need to stay on. How do we keep them on? Well, it's through you and your good graces at patreon.com/TMS. Everything else is at frogpants.com/TMS. And now, presenting a song from Brian Ibbett. What are we going out on?
That's right. You guys all keep the lights on. This light right here in front of me, that makes my hand glow.
Nice.
It's because you guys keep it on. All right, Jeff Wright wrote in and said, "Dear Sprocket and Bicycle, I've been listening to y'all for a little over 10 years now. I'm turning 50 on April 6th.
Woo!
Happy birthday. And I can't think of a better present than y'all playing a song for me on my birthday. If possible, how about a cover of Under Pressure? It's one of my all-time favorite songs. I don't know if either of you or the rest of the folks that are part of Frog Pants will ever fully know just how much what you do means to your listeners. You've given us a community we all need. Thank you for that. Love the show, though, and keep doing the Lord's work." Signed, Jeff Wright.
Nice. Aww. I was hoping he would tell us if he's upset about the use of Under Pressure in the Ice-T song, or the Vanilla Ice song.
He changed it, Scott. You know, Queen's goes dun 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 dun, but his goes dun 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 dun.
Oh, he added a dun in there.
Yeah, he added a dun in there.
Well, then it's fine then. Well done, Vanilla. You know what? I will give him props.
Well done.
Yeah, well done. I will give him one prop. Okay, the other day he put up a picture on Instagram where he was in a convenience store. And he had
Vanilla Ice. You follow Vanilla Ice on Instagram?
Yes, and he's holding two bags of ice that you get at a convenience store. And then next to that is a lady was in there with a baby in a stroller. So it was literally ice baby and him holding them. That's pretty great.
That's great. All right, one that does get props. Absolutely.
I think he redeems his entire career.
Better than anything he released in the 90s.
Yeah. Better than any song, any album, anything else he ever did. So good job, Vanilla.
Van Winkle. What is his name? Something Van Winkle?
Yeah, it's really a dumb name. Cheat the system, Winkle. I don't know what it is.
Anyway. All right, well, let's get to this cover Under Pressure. So I already love the band Keane.
King's
Oxley,
great.
Chief piano player, pianist on that band and songwriter. He's great. They put out some incredible music, and they did a cover of Under Pressure that they released and was really, really good. I almost played that one. But then I said, oh, wait. Then they got together, Keane got together with Rhythms del Mundo, this band that puts this amazing Latin kind of beat and flavor to everything they do. And now all of a sudden we've got We Don't Talk About Freddie going on here. Yeah. This is Rhythms del Mundo featuring Keane and a cover of Queen and David Bowie's Under Pressure.
See you guys tomorrow.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hello, YouTube.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.